Turn with me to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 50, 6 through 9. Now, the words here in this chapter, they're spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. They're spoken by Him when He came in the flesh. And the reason why He came in the flesh was to deliver His people, to deliver them from the bondage, the condemnation, and the death that we had earned by the works of our flesh, by our sin. And He came as our mediator, as our Savior, as our Almighty God and Savior to deliver His people. And when He came in the flesh, and what we see here spoken by our Lord in this chapter, Isaiah 50, we see dependence. We see His dependence upon His God. And when I say that, I don't mean that He was not God Himself. He is the Son of God. But our God sent His Son in the flesh as our mediator, as our surety, to be our sacrifice. He came in the flesh to lay down His life, to redeem a people with His own blood, to purchase them, to make them righteous in Himself. And so He came in weakness, wholly dependent upon His God. We see Him praying to the Father, looking to the Father, trusting the Father, being faithful to the Father in all things that He might work our salvation and obtain eternal redemption for His people. Our Lord says in Psalm 89:21, "With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen Him." Our God strengthened His Son in this work of obedience for us. And so our Lord's coming in weakness is a help for us. It's a comfort for us because we see our own weaknesses and we see our own frailty and our own failings and our own coming short in all things, but that He Himself trusted the Lord. And it's His faith which is given to us whereby we live upon Him. We don't trust and believe our God because we see ourselves as strong and mighty and conquerors in this flesh. We see ourselves as weak, as unrighteous in ourselves, as sinners. Sinners saved with a good hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us this hope in Him. And so we trust Him as He trusted the Father, whose help He trusted Him. So we trust Him to help us in our hour of need. And as I was looking at this and beholding, just looking at the faithfulness of our Savior, as we see His faithfulness here, what an encouragement it is to us who have nothing in ourselves and can't make a thing happen or work something for ourselves, but must depend upon our God. And we see Jesus, and we see His faithfulness, ever looking to the Father, depending upon Him. And what a help that is to us, especially in this world, which hates our God, hates the Christ, hates His people, hates His gospel, and we're faced with do I hide myself and protect myself, or do I trust the Lord to work His will and trust that He's put me here in the situation, whatever situation we find ourselves in, knowing that He's going to provide, that He's working His will and purpose in all things. And when we forget that or doubt that, all we need do is look at the Savior, who came to fulfill the will and purpose of his Father and trusted him wholly. And our God in wisdom has made it so that we have no other salvation. We have no other hope. He's fixed it in his Son, Jesus Christ, because he alone is the righteousness of his people. In him is life. Without him, there is no life. In him, there is no condemnation. Outside of him, there's only condemnation. So our God has given his Son and spared him not. And in Christ has established the covenant of grace with his Son so that we, his people, in him know and experience this grace and have life everlasting in the Son of God. Back in Isaiah 49, since we're there in that area, look at verse 8. Our God tells us, Isaiah 49, 8, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." And that's a comfort and encouragement for us who are weak and who are poor and who are desolate in ourselves and have nothing of ourselves to give to the Lord. That's a comfort to us because he's provided everything necessary in the Son, our Savior. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to pick up in verse 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ is salvation, and that's what we declare, what we preach here, is that Christ is the salvation of his people. We need look no further than him whom the Father sent. So hear this word, John 10, verse 15 through 18, our Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me." No man took Christ's life from him, but he says, "I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Our Savior believed his God. He believed the Father. He trusted the Father that when he laid down his life, he was able to take it up again, just as the Father said to him. And so when he came, everything he did was according to the will and purpose of God, and he filled it perfectly, securing the salvation of every one of his sheep, and none of them is lost. And because of this, our God will help you, his people. He helps his people. We see him help the Son, and the Son trusts in him for all things. So our God will help you, his people. And that's what I've titled this, "The Lord God Will Help You." Let's begin here, back in our text in verse 7. Isaiah 50, I want to pick up in verse 7. Our Lord begins saying, "For the Lord God will help me." The Lord God will help me. Why does he say this here? Why does he say the Lord God will help me? Well, our Savior is giving this is his confidence. That God will help him is his confidence, and that's his justification for what we see him doing in the work of salvation. Look at verse 6. verse 6, he says, I gave, I willingly gave my back to the smiters. I willingly gave my back to them that beat me. And my cheeks, I willingly gave my face, I put it out there, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. And so we see here our Lord gave himself. No man took it from him. He gave himself willingly for the work of salvation. And he gave himself into the hands of wicked men, and they treated him shamefully. They treated him not as he deserved, as the Lord of glory, their creator, but they treated him shamefully. They treated him as a guilty criminal. They treated him as one that deserved such treatment, and he deserved nothing like that. When he came, he did nothing but good. He spoke the words of truth to the people, and he went about doing much good, healing many of their sicknesses and infirmities, and doing many miracles as the Father had given him to do. And yet, they treated him shamefully and turned him over to be crucified on a cross, according to the Scriptures. And he gave himself to do this work that was his alone to do. He says in Hebrews 10, verse 7, and we're going to be there a lot, but I'll read this one. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he says in the volume of the book, it's written of me, he's speaking about the beginning of the book. In the beginning of the word of God, it's written of me, of our salvation, the salvation work that our Savior came to do, promised there in the garden, according to the will and purpose of God before the foundation of the earth. He came to save a people. And when he came, he knew it was to fulfill the will of God his Father. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And then put a mark there, because we're eventually going to look at a number of verses in Hebrews, so you'll be halfway there already. Acts 4:26 is where we'll pick up. This is the church, and the church is praying to her God, and she's quoting from Psalm 2. And she says in verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So here they are, all nations, all the rulers and the governors were in on this, including the Gentiles, the nations, and the people of Jerusalem, the Jews. And these all gathered, these smiters, and Christ gave his back to them, willingly gave his back to them, where they whipped him, and they beat him, and they bruised him, and they wounded him, and they laid many stripes upon him. And he gave his face, his cheeks, where they pulled out the hair of his beard to hurt him. And they smote him with open hands to smack him on the face. And they closed their fists and punched him, it says, and they tried to shame him and treated him horribly. And they mocked him and spit in his face and spoke foolishly, blindfolding him and hitting him and saying, tell us who prophesied. If you're the Son of God, prophesy. Tell us who hit you. And our Lord endured all this. And how did he endure it? Why did he endure it? Because he knew this is the will of God for him in working the salvation of his people. As the church here prays in Acts 4:28, for to do whatsoever thy hand, God's hand, and thy counsel, God's counsel determined before to be done. He knew, the Lord my God will help me. He gave his back and gave his face and hid not, because he knew and was confident, my God will help me. And so even though our Lord was shamefully treated by the people, he endured this in faithfulness to the Father. He trusted, this is of my Father's hand. This is what my Father has given me to do and to endure for the salvation of my beloved bride, my people. So he bore that shame, doing exactly what the Father sent him to do, to redeem a people, to purchase you that believe him, you that have no righteousness of your own, your Savior, your Creator, your loving husband, your faithful God and Savior gave himself, laid down his life, with all this being done to him, to purchase you, to make you his own, and to do for you what you have this day, this hope that you have, to give you this hope. And so glorious was the salvation wrought by our Lord. And so complete is the salvation accomplished by him that even our eyes now, we in the deadness of this flesh, have eyes enlightened. We're given life by the Savior that we may see and behold him and trust him and believe him and be strengthened and comforted by him. Turn over to Hebrews 12 now, and then put a marker there. Hebrews 12. We'll be skipping around a bit in Hebrews, but Hebrews 12, verse 2. With eyes full of light, beholding who it is that saved us and gave his life for us, he says there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see how low our Savior stooped in order to save us? How low he willingly came and laid down his life for us? You know, we have no strength of ourselves. If we're going to be laid low, if we're called upon to swallow our pride, that's not by the flesh. The flesh's strength is our pride. It is our arrogancy and our self-confidence in what we can do. And we don't want to go low in the flesh. But by the strength of Christ, if we're called to go low and we're brought low and humbled, he's our strength. He's our confidence. He's our hope. Because we trust this is the will of God for us, to bring us low, that we might find our all in him. When this flesh is strong, there's so much that we miss, so much we don't see, so much we don't want to hear or believe or look to. But when we're brought low, that's when we're crying out to the Lord and asking him for strength and help and to remember us. And to visit us. It's when we're brought low. And so, though we're weak in ourselves, our Lord is glorified in weakness. Our Lord is glorified in weakness. And we don't like to go into the fray of things. I was remembering, I think it was middle school. And I think in middle school, boys, that's probably the most that you'll ever get into fights is in middle school, that time frame. And I remember a friend of, there's a bully who wanted to beat me up, and I remember his friend told me that he was waiting outside to beat me up, to fight me. And so I took that knowledge and I went out the back door, because I didn't want to meet him on his terms. I met him like a week later on my own terms. But it just shows how we aren't so quick and so willing to give our body, to just throw ourselves into it. It's only by the strength of our God that we can face those hardships and those difficulties that we're called upon to face in him. And so by the Lord's strength, we're found to be a people who trust him, who have His Spirit, who are born again so that we have the faith, the gift of faith, whereby we look to the Savior and believe Him in, even in the midst of difficulties and trials. And believing Him, we're sealed by His Holy Spirit. And we're led by the Holy Spirit so that we're filled by Him. And that's where our boldness comes from. That's where our faith is given to us from Him, to trust Him, to believe upon Him and seek Him for His grace and mercy in the hour of trial. Turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 9. And we'll look at verses 9 through 11 together. There we read that we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And so, if the captain of our salvation was perfected in His sufferings, shall we not also be brought through trials and sufferings and difficulties? And knowing that He was perfected through these sufferings, does it not give us boldness to thank the Lord and trust Him in that hour and to be watching and waiting to see what our God will do for us in that hour, who's called us to go through the trial of affliction and suffering? It says in verse 11, for both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And what a joy it is to suffer with our brother, the one who calls us brother, the one who calls us our people, the one who suffered for us. And therefore, when He calls us to suffer, we know He's just teaching us. He's been there. He knows what we're going through because He's gone through it before us. He doesn't call us to go through anything that He Himself has not gone through and endured Himself. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to feel to be forsaken. He knows what it is to go through all manner of trials, of hungering and thirsting, of being left alone to endure the trial that you're going through. He knows exactly what it is, but He doesn't ever leave us alone. He's always there as an aid and a comfort for His people. So the Spirit helps our infirmities, especially when we're faced with that difficulty. Do I just hide myself here, or do I trust the Lord and go boldly through it? Do I keep myself from doing what I know is right? Whatever it is, because we're in many situations throughout our walk of faith in the Lord. But whatever it is, are we going to draw back and hide ourselves to protect ourselves or trust, Lord, I believe You've called me to this hour to trust You and to believe You and to stand in faith upon the hope that You've given me in the Lord Jesus Christ. So look to Christ. Behold His confidence in His Father. For we have the same Spirit of grace, not to the measure that He had it, because He had it without measure. But we have that same Spirit of grace. Believe Him and trust Him. Pray to Him when we're weak, but trust the Lord. When that appointed time came for our Lord to die, nothing stopped Him from going to Jerusalem for you. He went there to make an atonement for His people as the Lamb of God. That means that he went there knowing not that He was going there to die not for His own sins, but for the sins of another, for the sins of His people, to sacrifice Himself, to lay down His life, bearing the sins of His people, before holy God who poured out his wrath upon him. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, therefore have I set my face like a flint. That meaning with firmness, with resolve, he set his face. And it says, I know that I shall not be ashamed. And Luke records this purposely, saying, and it came to pass when the time was come that Christ should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so he had to go to Jerusalem. Before he could be received up, he had to go to Jerusalem. But our Savior went and did it, and the Father helped him. The Father helped him and strengthened him and comforted him and assured him that this was indeed the will of God, that the cup would not pass from him, but that he must lay down his life for his people. And so in that hour when our hearts are stirred with faith and he makes us willing in the day of his power, whatever it is, trust him. Believe the Lord. When he reveals to you this is his will, this is what he's called us to do, trust him. Stand in the day of faith, believing your God, believing your Lord. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. That is to aid or to comfort them that are tempted. You know, the whole history of the church is filled with brothers and sisters who were called upon to believe their God, to trust upon him, to wait upon him, to go through various trials and hardships and difficulties, times when they feared and wondered if their lives would be lost, if they would be swallowed up or great difficulty, that they would suffer loss. And Hebrews 11, if you go there to Hebrews 11, you know, that's the chapter of faith where we read of the faith of the brethren. This the faith of our brethren in this great cloud of witnesses with which we are now surrounded by. And in Hebrews 11, verse 33 and 34, because I can't read it all. But for time's sake, let's look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And as you read on, you read of others who didn't want to be delivered, but gladly, willingly gave their lives, all for the faith that God had given them. And so remember that this is the faith that our God gives us for the day of trial, for the day of temptation. Behold your Savior, trust him. All right, this brings us now to behold the nearness of our God to us. Saying there in Hebrews, look at chapter 13, Hebrews 13. We're never alone. We're never alone. Hebrews 13, verse 5 in the second half. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We see our Savior who endured that shame, who endured the suffering, who gave his back to the smiters, and he trusted. He trusted the Father, and he reconciled us to the Father in that work. He didn't give up. He didn't call upon the angels, the legions of angels to come and deliver him. He endured. He went through the whole work of salvation, the whole atonement, giving his life, sacrificing himself to put away our sins, that we should know our God, that we should be reconciled to him, that we are the people of God. And so we now shall never be forsaken nor left alone. We now are reconciled to him, that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And we know him. and He is our God, and He is our Savior. And so when we feel lonely and afraid, remember that we have an advocate with the Father who prays for us, who prays for you, who prays that you be strengthened and be kept faithful in the difficulties against your adversaries. Be confident in Him, though in ourselves we feel the weaknesses, we know the doubts, we have the fears. Be confident in Him, because He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Look there at Hebrews 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten Thee. Our Savior cannot fail. He cannot fail. You'll not be swallowed up or overtaken or destroyed. Whatever it is that the Lord brings you through, it's always for our good. It always has a purpose in the will of God for His people, for the good of His church. That's a comfort. That we know. We don't need to fear and draw back. Trust Him. Go through the fiery trial. Go through the flood, knowing that this is what our God has given us to go through. And He'll establish His people in Christ, in that. And we'll see our God never fails. Whatever He purposes to do, that He shall do. And so it's a great comfort to us. He endured every obstacle that was against us, and He overcame every foe that set themselves up opposed to us. Back in Isaiah now, verses 8 and 9, our Lord says, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. So these words are a discouragement to our enemies, but to us they're a great encouragement, because we know that nothing can come against us, because we are Christ's. He's obtained our forgiveness. He's obtained our adoption as the children of God. And so we have forgiveness with God. We'll never perish. We'll never be lost. Whatever the enemy does that to come against your flesh, to create difficulties for you, to cause you to suffer loss in this life, it's nothing compared to our eternal redemption and our eternal hope and comfort in Him. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So be bold in the Lord. Paul willingly gave his life and trusted the Lord. He gave up all that he had in religion, all that he had among the people of the Jews. He forsook it all and trusted the Lord. And so, remember your Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your Savior. He trusted the Father. The Lord will help me. The Lord my God shall help me. Believe Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. So if the adversity you face is from the hands of your loving Father, and He's working out His will in you, trust Him wholly, knowing that the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded or ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. None who trust the Savior shall ever be ashamed. He is their salvation. We're complete in Him. We stand faultless before the throne of our God. He says in John 3:21, and I'll close with this, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so our God, He brings us through difficulties and trials, and though they're difficult for us in this flesh, we see that what He works and what He does in our midst is all wrought of Him to the praise and honor and glory of His name. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts.